diseases your kids are carrying these days, but yeah, it's pretty horrific. Anyway, if we haven't met, I'm Matt, I'm the youth pastor here, and this morning I have the pleasure in sharing with you about the true vine and abiding and pruning. So this is a continuation in a series we're doing. About 4 years ago, when Zara and I first got married, I was studying theology full-time, and worked at New Zealand Post in a P.O. Box office. This is a time where Zara affectionately called me Postman Matt, with a very ugly cat. About three mornings a week, I'd get up very early and go to the post office, sort the mail, put it in the P.O. boxes, and then go back to the office for a bit and then be on my way. But I actually only really knew or needed to interact with one person, my manager Mike. And Mike was a nice guy. He interviewed me and he was the one who gave me the job, and we had many really good yarns whenever we saw each other. He was a really great boss. But one day, Mike just disappeared off the face of the planet. I don't know where he went, but just all of a sudden, Mike wasn't there anymore. And no one had said anything to me. And all of a sudden, I didn't know anyone at work. I had no accountability. And no one really filled me in with what was going on. But worst of all, I actually needed to resign. I'd found work for the summer, and I needed to quit my job. But who to? I remember sitting down on my laptop and beginning my letter saying, to whom it may concern. And the day came where I could no longer delay resigning any longer. So I went to the office and I kind of just watched people. And I sat there and tried to guess who seemed like they might be the manager. One lady stood out to me, because I had only seen her a few times. So I tentatively pulled her aside, not even knowing her name, and handed her the resignation letter, and she read it. And she said, "Oh, that's a shame." And then I left. I'm still not 100% sure if she even really was my boss. Or whether I'm technically still employed by New Zealand Post. But I was mostly frustrated at Mike, because I'd been a good employee. Why didn't he warn me about his departure? He could have prepared me for his leaving and explained what was going to happen, and it would have saved me a lot of grief and a lot of awkwardness. For the last few weeks, we've been focusing on the farewell discourse of John. And unlike my boss Mike, Jesus had been preparing his disciples for his departure. And this discourse is really building to this moment here, the ascension. Jesus has been preparing his disciples for a time when he will no longer be with them in the same way, but will instead be with the Father and will be present by the Spirit. There will be a moment where Jesus will have died, resurrected, reappeared to his disciples, and then finally ascended to be glorified with the Father. And Jesus has been preparing his disciples for a time where he will no longer be with them as he has been. And his hope will be that when he leaves, they will be prepared to live in a new way. His hope is when he leaves, they won't be filled with despair and stupid questions like, "Where is he going? If only we had been warned. What do we do now? Has anyone seen Judas?" It's been days. He's got that gold watch on. I don't know where he got that. So the disciples knew that Jesus will be leaving. And the question they must be thinking is, okay, you're leaving, but what do we do? How do we be your disciples when you've gone to be with the Father? And with that in mind, let's read today's passage. So if you have your Bible, turn to John 15, and we're going to read through 1 to 8. I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes it so that it will be even more fruitful. You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Remain in me as I also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If you do not remain in me, you are like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire, and burned. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. This is to my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to being my disciples. The disciples hear that by themselves they can do nothing. Instead, they must remain in Christ, and Christ will remain in them. It's there that fruit is produced. And it's union with God that is central to being a Christian. And remaining in Christ isn't just something that disciples are called to do. It's how you be a disciple in the first place. They've been the disciples because of their participation in Christ's ministry and will continue to be disciples for as long as they remain in Christ. Remaining in Christ is how to be a disciple. Discipleship rests not on believing right things or living a certain way, although these are very important things. Discipleship rests upon union, connection, and participation with Christ. Our knowing and our doing are dependent on our connection to and being with Christ. Our being comes before our thinking and our action. If we are to get anything right about being a disciple, it must begin with remaining in Christ. Our primary concern must be with staying connected to the source of life. Here's the thing though, when we talk about abiding in Christ, we often focus on the fact that we gain fruit, which is true. We have a tendency to major on the things that we get from the Spirit, the fruits of the Spirit. Spiritual gifts, the filling, the wisdom. We want the goodies, but we ignore the fact that we're people who need work. But the gift of the Spirit isn't just a gift because of what we gain. The Holy Spirit is a gift because of what he takes away from us as well. He's a gift because he prunes us. And here in John, Jesus notes that every branch that bears no fruit will be cut off. And every branch that does bear fruit will be pruned. So either way, there's going to be pruning. Pruning is a non-negotiable for fruitfulness. Pruning and fruitfulness go together like pen and paper, like macaroni and cheese, like lightning and thunder, like heaven and earth, like Winston Peters and people over 60, like Alias and being Australian, like the Warriors and losing. So there's no option for bearing fruit without being pruned. Every branch that bears fruit is pruned. Fruitfulness and pruning go hand in hand. By the Spirit, we need to be convicted and challenged and corrected if we are to be fruitful. And while this is painful, it's not optional. When we remain in the true vine, all untruthful aspects of our lives come into question. With Christ, the truth living in us, and us living in Christ, the lies that we have lived by have light shone upon them. Disciples are people committed to living truthfully through Christ and confronting falsehood in our lives. The Holy Spirit prunes us by shining light on those falsehoods, convicting us, healing us, and empowering us to become more Christ-like and to bear more fruit. And who doesn't want to live in truth? Except 50% of Americans. Having untruthfulness confronted in our lives can feel painful. But my friend Matt Stott says, truth never hurts us, it hurts our delusions. This is why truth leads to fruitfulness. But by even starting a conversation about the way the Spirit prunes us feels kind of foreign, because we're not accustomed to focusing on the more confronting and pruning aspects of the Holy Spirit. We don't often reflect on how remaining in the vine will be a difficult and challenging time. And that's why this next quote is probably going to make a few of you feel quite uncomfortable. This is what Karl Barth says. The Holy Spirit attacks us, even kills us, that we may live again. And this must be a continuous death, because the old human being within us is a fool who ever again allows itself to come up to the surface and always needs to be put back under the surface of the water of baptism in order to be drowned. We need the Holy Spirit to give us what we don't have, but we also need the Holy Spirit to prune away the old self, the rubbish, the useless branches that prevent us from being fully human and fully in Christ. And this isn't a one-off thing. This is a continuous thing. Sometimes things about our old sinful selves will keep resurfacing. In fact, I think we all have a thing, a thorn in our side, something a part of our old selves that will keep rearing its head and that needs to be continually put to death by the Holy Spirit. Unforgiveness, jealousy, addiction, greed, laziness, hatefulness, supporting the Warriors, whatever it might be. We need the Holy Spirit to be continually pruning us, sanctifying us, or as Karl Barth says, attacking us to leave behind our old selves. Mark 1, 12 to 13 also gives us an insight into this kind of pruning work the Holy Spirit does. We hear that at once after his baptism, the Spirit drove him out into the wilderness, and he was in the wilderness for 40 days being tempted by Satan. He was with the wild animals and angels attended to him. Question, who forced Jesus into the wilderness?
The Spirit.
The Spirit forces Jesus into the wilderness. And when we talk about the wilderness, we talk about Jesus being tempted by the devil, but we don't talk about is the fact that the Spirit was the one who drove him there in the first place. And this word forced is the same Greek word that gets used when Jesus drives out demons or drives out moneylenders from the temple. In the same way, the Spirit drove Jesus into the wilderness. And this is what the Spirit does sometimes. It's the Spirit that forces us into places of confrontation with ourselves and the truth. The Spirit will help us bear fruit by confronting us and pruning us. Here again, we see a more challenging side to the person of the Holy Spirit. The Spirit here acts not gently, but almost forcefully, not in a way that's needlessly aggressive, but in a way that shows the desperation of the triune God to have communion with us. In a loving way, a disciplining way that serves the bigger picture and helps us in our journey of glorifying the Father through Christ's likeness. Hebrews 12, 4-11 tells us, now discipline always seems painful rather than pleasant at the time. But later, it yields the peaceful fruit of righteousness to those who have been trained by it. This pruning takes the form of discipline as well. But here again, it's a task that results in what? Fruitfulness. We need this. We need the Spirit that not only gives us gifts, but also disciplines us so we can share in Christ's holiness. We need disciplining and correction when we're on the wrong path. And again, we see fruitfulness and pruning go hand in hand. In fact, fruitfulness and pruning go hand in hand, just as the words disciple and discipline go hand in hand. This is an organic relationship. And if any generation hates talking about being pruned and disciplined and having to challenge who we're becoming, it's my generation. My generation has grown up in a culture that tells them you should be whoever you want to be and not judge others for who they are. My generation thinks that you shouldn't have to change for anyone or for any reason. My generation thinks truth is relative and everyone's opinion is equally valid. My generation cringes at the idea of God disciplining us, let alone the people of God disciplining each other. But this is the uncomfortable reality that remaining in Christ has for us. We have to change. We have to be open to pruning from both God and from others. And discipline is part of being a disciple. Truth isn't an idea, it's a person, Jesus Christ, and we encounter truthfulness when we encounter Christ. So the church needs to be a prunable people, open to the Holy Spirit and his convicting and challenging of his people. But if you don't know where to start, here are some ideas on how to be a prunable branch. Lovely title. One, remain in Christ and ask. Ask Christ to reveal both to you what parts of your life need work and for the tools to be fruitful. Remain in him, spend time with him and his word, being receptive to what the Spirit might be wanting to prune in you. Acknowledge the truth found in knowing Jesus and embrace it. Ask someone you trust. Find someone wise or close to mentor you. Ask them what areas of your life need pruning. Hopefully the list isn't too long. The Holy Spirit uses the people of God and community to prune and refine our character. Have good associations with correction and discipline and pruning. Being pruned or corrected or disciplined, assuming they are all based on the truth, will always lead to fruitfulness. A lot of us have bad associations with correction, though. A lot of us confuse correction with rejection. So when God or other people challenge us, we feel a sense of rejection. But actually, correction is a great thing. It means we get to live in the truth. It means we get growth, freedom, healing, and learning. These are great things. If we have bad associations with correction, we miss the opportunities to live in a fruitful way. If we have bad associations with pruning, we'll often react to rather than receive the wisdom others have for us. Going back to when I was at New Zealand Post, I shared a desk with another girl who worked on different days to me. And if anyone knows me, they know my desk is not particularly organized. That is, if you can get to my desk through the other stuff in my office. But needless to say, this girl was not particularly impressed with my desk management skills. So she clearly expressed her frustration through the art of passive-aggressive notes left around the desk, reminding me how disorganized I was and how she had organized it for me. Great! A chance to be pruned, right? A chance to receive some wisdom and learn how to be organized. I wish I could say I embraced the opportunity to and better myself. Instead, I reacted. Who is she to tell me what to do? And so I responded weakly by switching the desk to the exact opposite way she would arrange it and continually trying to hide the post-it notes to stop the influx of frustrated notes I would be receiving. But when we react, we miss a chance to learn. Take the truth and leave the rest. Sometimes others will try and do some pruning for you. They might be speaking out of their own hurt or their own misunderstanding. Be discerning as to what is a genuine attempt to help you live truthfully and what is someone else's baggage. Everyone has blind spots, and sometimes we are on the receiving end of them. Submit to the truth and not the person. So today I want to just leave us with some questions to think about and dwell on. And maybe we'll just have a minute of silence for you to maybe open yourself to hearing from God on this. And we'll do one more song if that's okay. But these questions, what is your present connection to Christ? Are you remaining in Christ? And what areas in your life need pruning? What parts of your character need pruning and correction? Let's just pray together. Father, help us remain in your Son, Jesus, through your Holy Spirit for your glory. Help us be a people that bear your fruit and a people that are being pruned to be more like you and more like the humans that you have created us to be. We want to know you in your fullness. Confront us with your love and your truth. Amen.